You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, You Asked For It. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Well, hello, New Point. Hey, have I told you lately that I love you? I want you to know that I really, really do love you. I appreciate you. I'm excited about what God is doing here at New Point, and I want to give you a personal invitation to Point Palooza. It's July, the end of July, the last Sunday in July, and I just want to invite you there. It's going to be an incredible, unbelievable time. We're going to have a great fellowship. There's going to be great music. There's going to be a lot of laughter. There's going to be games. There's going to be food. And you won't want to miss it. So if you haven't gotten your ticket, get it today, okay? Get it today. We've made it very reasonable. It's $5, and it's a regular $20 ticket, plus you're going to get an evening meal, okay? You can't beat that. And if you miss it, then we're going to have to call the cops because you're going to have been robbed. You're going to get robbed, okay? And so we don't want you to get robbed. And so be there, invite your small group, make it a great family time. I'm going to talk a little bit about the future as we celebrate 90 years of New Point. So please make it there. You don't want to miss it. Well, hey, we're in this series called You Ask For It, and we ask you questions, or you ask us questions that you wanted answered. And so we've talked about politics, we've talked about alcohol and R-rated movies and tobacco. And today I just thought, let's talk about sex because it was right up there almost as number one. And so we want to be able to talk about the S word. And the fact of the matter is most churches don't go there, but we go there, okay? And so I'm glad that you're here. If this is your first time with us, welcome. You're in for an unbelievable treat. But here's some of the questions that you were asking. Why are Christians so old-fashioned about sex? What about homosexuality and gay marriage? If I'm in a committed relationship, is it okay to be sexually active? What about same-sex attraction? And so we go on and on and on with these questions. And so what I want to do is I'm not going to answer all of these specifically, but what we want to do is we want to say, what is God's view of sex? Because it includes all of the questions that you have asked and that you want to know about. And so though the church has a reputation for being old-fashioned, we need to understand that God's not old-fashioned about sex. He's the creator of it, okay? He enjoys you and I being able to enjoy it in the right context. And so we want to learn about that today. As I was preparing this, though, I came across an ad that I just thought was hilarious, and I just want to share it with you, all right? It'll tell you a little bit where our world is today in our sexuality. It went like this. Single black female seeks male companion. Nationality and race is unimportant. I am a very good look who loves to play. I love long walks in the woods, riding in a pickup, hunting, camping, and fishing trips, cozy winters lying by the fire. Candlelight dinners will have me eating out of your hand. Rub me in the right way and watch me respond. I'll be at the front door when you get home from work wearing what only nature gave me. Kiss me and I am yours. Call 404-875-6420 and ask for Daisy. I'll be waiting. Now, this was in a local newspaper in a city in America, and what they ended up getting was basically 5,000 responses from men, only to reach the Humane Society, where a 9-week-old black lab named Daisy was staying. Huh? Can you believe that? So that'll tell you a little bit of why we need to talk about this subject, okay? Because it's rampant in our society. Now, here's what we need to understand. If sexuality is such a powerful thing, and it is, if it's so amazing, and it can be, If it can be such a great gift when it's handled rightly, if it can express intimacy and love like nothing else in the world, yet on the other hand, if sexuality can be so devastating when it's mishandled, if it can destroy marriages and cripple conscience and traumatize young lives, if it can consume a man or a woman who has become addicted to it, where do you and I look for answers? Who is the authority on human sexuality? Because today, people turn to all different types of sources. Some people turn to talking heads, maybe on the radio, on the TV. Some look to movies. Some magazines. Others the internet. Others to their peers. But I'll tell you where most people don't look, and that is to the creator of sex. And that is God himself. And so since God is the creator of sex, I think we need to look to him because he knows how it should happen and how you and I can be basically be able to enjoy it in all of its intended pleasure. And so Paul is a writer and he writes letters. And if you'll look at his letters in the New Testament, you will find out that in almost every single letter that he writes, and he wrote almost half of the New Testament, you'll find out that he addresses sexual issues, because it's always been a problem. It's always been an issue among mankind. And so in 1 Thessalonians, he writes a letter to a group of people who are asking some of the same questions that were asked of us here at New Point. And I trust that you'll follow along in your note-taking guide. And here's what he says. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. Basically, what he is saying is, it is God's will that you and I become like Jesus. And that you should avoid sexual immorality. Wow, that we should avoid sexual immorality. What is he saying? He is basically letting us know that sex outside of marriage wreaks havoc on your ability to enjoy true intimacy. And that's what we're all after. We're all after intimacy, okay? We're going to learn that today. And that sex has the ability not only to affect your body, but your heart and your mind, and your soul. And so he says here that you and I should avoid sexual immorality. He goes on to say this, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. You see, when you and I accept Jesus Christ as the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life, our body does not get saved. And so we need to be able to learn to control it. And we can, okay? You and I cannot say, I couldn't help myself, okay? We all can learn to control our body, and I'm going to help you with that today. He goes on to say this, not in a passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. See, when you know God, you live a certain way. He says, and that in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. He's basically saying here that you and I should not take advantage of one another sexually, because there are opportunities for all of us to do that. He goes on to say this. He goes on to say, the Lord will punish all those who commit such sins. As we told you and warned you before, God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. What he is saying is this. He is saying that there's a relationship between your purity and your ability to see God. You know, I've talked with people and they say, Dwight, I just don't hear from God and I just don't see God in things. Well, Jesus would say on the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And so there's a relationship between you and I, okay, and God that rests on your purity and my purity. Let's go on. Therefore, in light of what I just said, anyone who rejects this instructions does not reject a human being. That means that today, if you reject what I'm saying, you're not rejecting me, okay? You're rejecting God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting that it says he gives us not just his Spirit, but his Holy Spirit. Now, here's what we all need to understand as we talk about sex today. Every one of us in this room has problems dealing with our sexuality. Every single one of us, okay? Just look down the row, okay? both ways, all of those people next to you, in front of you, and behind you, we all have problems in our sexuality. We just do. And we have to understand that, and we have to realize that. We all struggle. No matter how good that person looks or acts in your presence, I promise you, they struggle with their sexuality. You say, Dwight, do you struggle with yours? Absolutely. Always have, always will. Okay, as long as I'm on planet Earth, I'm going to struggle with my sexuality. And all of us have to understand that. And we have to realize that. And maybe it's that I struggle with inappropriate relationships. Maybe it's addictive patterns of behavior that I struggle with. Maybe it's that I get my self-esteem by how other people look at me, whether they think that I'm sexy or not. Or it could be many different things. Maybe that you escape from problems and challenges by reading romantic fantasies. Or maybe you struggle with pornography. But you can look around this room right now, and I guarantee you, 100%, none of us are exempt from this. All of us struggle with our sexuality. And yet God has instructions for you and me to be able to deal with it and to be able to handle it. And that's what we want to talk about. You see, our society here today is not giving us the right answers. Matter of fact, as I was preparing for this lesson, I learned about a movie. It's called No Strings Attached. And the subline was this: friends as benefits. And basically say that you have benefits with your friends, and it's sexual. Hooking up with one another just for activity. And so what happens is we have to come back to the one who created it and knows you and me and how it should be operated in my life and in your life. And Jesus even got questions on marriage and on sexuality. And in Matthew, he gives a straightforward answer, okay? He's very, 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 very clear. And I want us to look at it. Here's what he says. And he's asked a question about marriage and about sexuality. He says, haven't you read that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Now, Jesus is very clear here, and he affirms the teachings of the Old Testament. And he does it very clearly here because he says this, that God created male and female, okay? And so what we have is we have a man and we have a woman. And he basically says here, that doesn't basically say, he does say, he says, and they will leave their mother and father, and they will cleave to who? One another. That's what? That's marriage. That's marriage. And so what Jesus is saying is this, okay? Everything in this box here is good sexually, okay? That sex is to happen inside this box. Everything sexually that happens outside that box is sin. And you say, what do you mean by sin? It's not good for you. It's not good for me. That's what he is saying. And so Jesus is very, very clear. He lets us know what's right, and he lets us know what's wrong. And the reason why it would be wrong outside the box is because you would not experience God's presence, and you would not experience God's promise. Inside the box, God would say, explore, enjoy. And so how can you and I ensure that that happens in our relationships? How can you and I be sure that we are following God's plan and we're following his instructions? Well, I want to give you a number of things very practical today of how you and I can do that, all right? Here's the first thing. The first thing is we need to seek God daily and passionately. We need to seek God daily and passionately. This is critical because here's what I believe, okay? Underneath your desires, okay, underneath my desires, we have a desire not to be alone. There's a craving in you and there's a craving in me that desires not to be alone. And here's what I've come to believe. I've come to believe that most sexual misbehavior that people engage in is not primarily because of promiscuity or evilness. I think that most people get engaged sexually outside of marriage because of loneliness. We're lonely. And so what happens is we hunger and we thirst for intimacy. We hunger and we thirst for connection. And ever since the fall has ended, loneliness is a primary reflection that our relationship with God is not where it needs to be. Our relationship with God was severed. And so your true sense of aloneness, my true sense of aloneness, is that we're separated from God. And this means that we crave to be delivered from it. We don't want to be alone. And so what happens is we end up, okay, living a life of promiscuity because we want to be with other people. We want that connection, and people are desperate for it. And we think that it will take away our loneliness, and it doesn't. That's why, you know what, when somebody gets divorced or somebody has been in a long-term dating relationship and they're no longer in that relationship, you know what I tell them? You don't want to date anybody for a year. You don't want to date anybody for a year. And you know what? They look at me crazy. And the fact of the matter is, because you will feel so alone that you will gravitate to people who can take advantage of you. And it's all because you want to connect. And what we need to do is we need to seek God daily and passionately. Because that's what you long for, and that's what I ultimately long for. David writes this in Psalms. He says, "Oh God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water." You get the picture? I mean, he's just dying of thirst. He goes on to say this. He says, "Your unfailing love is better than life itself." What he is saying is, there's nothing better than your life. There's nothing better than being in right relationship with you. That is what ultimately satisfies. He says, "You satisfy me more than the richest feast." And so what he is saying is this. He is saying that, you know what? The only way that I'm ultimately going to be satisfied is by seeking God daily and passionately. And if you don't believe me, talk to somebody who's married. Because marriage does not quench aloneness. You can be married and be very alone. Believe you me. And so what happens is your deepest thirst and my deepest thirst is to be able to have intimacy with my Heavenly Father who loves me and cares about me and that accepts me completely and fully and embraces me. Jesus would say it like this later in one of his lessons. He would say, "Blessed, happy, those who are envied are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for a right relationship with God, for they shall be what? Satisfied." So let me talk to us just for one more moment on this point. If you're not happy single, you won't be happy married. Because you'll be looking for that person to meet the deepest need in your life, and they will fall short. Because really what you long for is intimacy with your Creator. And the way in which we do that is we have to seek Him daily and passionately. "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be" what? Satisfied. Satisfied. Here's the second thing that we need to look at, and that is this. Not only should we seek God daily and passionately, we should eliminate opportunities. We need to be able to eliminate opportunities. And you know what? We live in a world of where there's all kinds of opportunities for you and I to go awry sexually. I mean, it's just there. It's in your face and it's in my face. And we need to be able to eliminate those opportunities. Here's what Paul writes to another church, okay, in one of his letters. Here's what he says. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity. Wow. He is saying there shouldn't even be a hint of it. You know why? Because it's so devastating. It destroys everything. And so what he is saying here is that you need to eliminate every opportunity. I need to eliminate every opportunity. What's those opportunities? Well, it can be relationships. It can be movies that feed that. It can be the internet. It can be pornography. It can be this. All right? It can be this. And what we have to do is we have to eliminate everything, because he says there should not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity. Andy Stanley, in one of his books, he writes this, and this is unbelievable, folks. Get this. He says, nothing has stolen more dreams, dashed more hopes, broken up more families, and messed up more people psychologically than our propensity to disregard God's command regarding sexual purity. He goes on to say this, no regret runs deeper than the regret associated with unwise moral decisions. Wow. Can I get an amen? Huh? Some of us here have experienced that. We've experienced the regret. And you would say, you know what? There's not a greater regret. I can recover from a financial mistake. I can recover from a career mistake. I can recover, fill in the blank. But to recover from sexual misconduct is hard, almost impossible to recover from. And so we have to eliminate every opportunity. Don't even give a hint towards it. Paul goes on to say this to the Corinth church. Flee from sexual immorality. Flee, okay? Eliminate the possibility. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever commits sexual sins sins against their own body. You see, what happens is it's more than any other sin, okay? And the way in which it affects you and me. It affects me internally. It affects my emotions. It affects my soul. It affects everything about Dwight. That's what he says here. And so we need to eliminate every opportunity for you and I to go south sexually. And right now, God is reminding you of some things that are in your life that you need to eliminate. You know, what I say is this. Are you comfortable with your wife or husband looking at your phone? Or are you protected? I don't want you to go there. Then what happens is you need to be able to do that. You need to eliminate every opportunity, because it's that dangerous and it's a slippery slope. So what we need to do is we need to seek God daily and passionately. We need to eliminate the opportunities for you and I to go south, okay? And by the way, okay, they say that opportunity knocks once, but temptation leans on the doorbell, right? So it's always there. That's why we have to take this seriously. Let me give you the third thing, and that is this. We need to make ourselves accountable. Make yourself accountable. Who is it in your life that has the right and the freedom and the permission to ask you the hard questions? I have people who ask me questions about my purity. I have people who ask me questions about Patty and me. Because I know the slope and I know it's slippery. And what did I say earlier? Every single person in this room has problems dealing with our sexuality. Every single person does. And that's why we have to make ourselves accountable. Matter of fact, it's one of our values here. Because we would say that it's dangerous to do life alone. Somebody needs to know about you. Somebody needs to know about your struggles. Somebody needs to know about your temptation. And say, hey, you know what? I'm going to give you permission to ask me questions about my sexual purity. I'm going to give you permission to ask questions about my personal life. Why? Well, Solomon would say it like this. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. What's he saying? He's basically saying, you know what? We have all kinds of people who will come up to us and hug us and kiss us. Right? I mean, they're a dime a dozen. But I guarantee you this, there's very few people who will tell you the truth. And maybe because we haven't given them permission. You know, I've got a beautiful scar on my arm. Here, it's beautiful. You know why it's beautiful? Because it saved my life. They took a vein out of my arm and put it in my chest when they did open heart surgery. And that's what he's talking about here. Sometimes a wound that a friend gives us is beautiful because it saves our marriage. It saves our life from being destroyed. And so we need to make ourselves accountable. Let me give you the fourth one, and that is this. We need to cultivate a healthy sexuality. We need to cultivate a healthy sexuality. And this is very, very important. This is huge, okay? And I know what some of you are thinking. Dwight, how important and how vital is a sexual relationship to a marriage? Does it make that much of a difference? And I know that some of you right now are praying for me. You're interceding on my behalf. And you're saying, let him say it's the most important thing in life. Let him say that it's more important than air and food and water and shelter. Let him say that. Right? Well, let's see what God has to say, okay? Because it's more important what he has to say than what I have to say. Again, let's go back to Paul. Here's what Paul says. Now, getting down to the questions you asked in your letter to me, in our survey, okay? First, is it a good thing to have sexual relations? Certainly, but only within a certain context. And what is that context? We learn from Jesus. It's between a man and a woman who's in marriage, who have committed themselves to one another. He goes on to say this, it is good for a man to have a wife and for a woman to have a husband. Okay? Sexual drives are strong, but marriage is strong enough to contain them and provide a balance, check this out, a balanced and fulfilling sexual life in a world of sexual disorder. You see, he was writing to the church in Corinth. It would be like you and I writing a letter to New York City or LA. All right? Get the picture? He says, in a world of sexual disorder. That means that they're confused about how God views sex. All right? He goes on to say this. He says, the marriage bed must be a place of mutuality. The husband seeking to satisfy his wife and the wife seeking to satisfy her husband. Marriage is not a place to stand up for your rights. Marriage is a decision to serve the other, whether in bed or out of bed. Wow. Check this out. Abstaining from sex is permissible for a period of time if you both agree, and if it's for the purposes of prayer and fasting. Honey, I'd love to, but I'm in a time of prayer and I'm in a time of fasting, but only for such time. Then he goes on to say this, then come back together. Satan has an ingenious way of tempting us when we least expect us. Ingenious way of tempting us when we least expect it. He's saying because we lack self-control, we can't give in to the temptation of not having sexual relationships with our husband or wife. Wow. So what is he answering here? What is he telling you and I? He's giving us keys to a healthy sexual life. Are you interested in that? Some of you are. Let me give it to you, okay? Here's the keys to a sexual healthy life. One is it needs to be active, okay? It needs to be active, okay? Engaging, if you will. It needs to also be frequent, all right? And third, it needs to be passionate, all right? So that is huge. So a healthy sex life is it needs to be active, it needs to be frequent, and it needs to be passionate, okay? And if that's not going on in your marriage, if that's not happening in your relationship with your husband or wife, then what happens is you need to come back and you need to have a conversation. Because withholding yourself from your spouse is just as wrong as infidelity. Say what? What'd you say? withholding yourself from your spouse is just as wrong as infidelity. Both are being unfaithful to the marriage covenant. When you got married, you said, I do. And so what happens is, as we just read here, you give up your rights. You say, doesn't it have to be consensual? Absolutely it does. Absolutely it does. But what happens is, if you're not active and it's not frequent and it's not passionate, then what happens is you need to be able to address it. You need to be able to sit down and have a conversation. Why? Because all of us lack self-control. The enemy is constantly tempting us. And so we need to be, are you all right on that one? You need to do that. You need to make sure that that happens. One writer put it like this. He says, I've never seen what I would call a great marriage in which the sexual relationship was disappointing. Wow. I believe that if we could teach every couple to improve their sexual relationship just by 10%, we would lower the divorce rate by more than 10%. And so what happens is, he gives a four-step plan in being able to help people cultivate a healthy sexual life. He says, the first one, you must be willing to try. You must say, hey, let's talk about this. Let's become active, let's do it frequently, and let's be passionate about it. Secondly, what he would say is, buy a good book on it. Kevin Lehman has a book called Turn Up the Heat, okay? Read about it, okay? Third is this, if you ever experience sexual trauma in your childhood, then start the process of allowing God to heal you through going through counseling, through a Christian counselor, but be able to do that. And then number four, talk freely and openly about your sexual relationship, being able to have an engaging conversation on it. And I'm telling you, this is huge, and this is important, and this is biblical. This is God's view on it. And so withholding yourself from your spouse is as wrong as infidelity, because you're both breaking covenant there in the marriage. Let me move on. Number five, occupy your time with purpose and fulfillment. If we're going to be able to manage this, we need to occupy our time with purpose and fulfillment. And maybe you're here today and you're saying, Dwight, I'm single, and you're talking about cultivating a sexual healthy life, and you're saying it's only for marriage. What do you do about me? Here's your answer. You need to occupy your time with purpose and fulfillment. Proverbs tells us this. Proverbs says, the Lord has made everything for his own purposes. And so God has a purpose for your life, and you are to occupy your time, okay, on that purpose and in that fulfillment. You see, one of the things that I've told Patty, I said, the day that I get bored is the day that I'm open for an affair. Because you see, you and I were created for purpose. You and I were created for fulfillment. You and I were created for adventure. And we read about this in Samuel. Samuel tells us about a man after God's own heart, a very, very, very good man, a man after God's own heart who fell morally. And when you read that story, what happens is you see a progression of how he fell and how you and I can fall. And I want to give it to you. Here's what happens. It usually happens during prosperous times when things are going well. And what happens is you're not giving your attention to maybe the work or to the family, because you know what? You got loads of time and you've got money on hand. And then what happens is that leads to a passive will, because now you become unguarded. Things are going good. Things are happening. Yeah, way. And what happens is you're not as sharp as you were, because you become lethargic. You're experiencing a little bit of apathy. And then what happens is you begin to experience some powerful emotions. And that's what happened to David. You see, David was the king. He was experiencing incredible time. And he had a passive will, and he saw a woman on top of another building. And what happens is his emotions started to turn. And in doing that, he had perverse thoughts. He started thinking, I wonder what it would be like to be with her. I wonder what it would be like to sleep with her. And that ended up leading him to a private sin, of where he engaged, and he had one of his servants go and get Bathsheba. And they ultimately came together and they ultimately participated in sexual immorality, which ultimately led to this, public consequences. And that's what will happen to you and that's what will happen to me. And so what happens is I need to occupy my time with purpose and fulfillment. Richard Pryor, you ever heard of him? He's that wise old guy, okay, that was a comedian. Here's what he said. Time and money will always get you in trouble. If you got a lot of time, you got a lot of money, you know what happens? You become bored. And we were created for adventure. And the temptation sexually will grow and grow and grow. And what happens is you'll experience this right here, I promise you. And it's devastating, as Andy said. Let me give you this last one and we're done. We need to train our children. We need to train our children about this. Maybe you grew up in a home. I did. I grew up in a home. We never talked about this. Matter of fact, I went to a church that we never talked about this. And what happens is we have to sit down with our sons and daughters and we have to be engaged as uncomfortable as it is. We need to be training our kids of God's view of sex. Because they're going to learn it somewhere. Matter of fact, your kids are learning it somewhere. The question is, do they have God's perspective on it or do they have the world's perspective on it? No strings attached. Friends is benefits. And so we need to train up our children. Moses said it like this. He says, teach these commandments that I give you today, and they are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. And so he's saying the commands of God, one man, one woman, one lifetime, that we are to flee from sexual immorality, that we shouldn't even give it a hint, and we need to be able to train our children in this. Now let me close with this thought. Some of us here today, matter of fact, all of us in one way or another, have made some poor choices sexually, okay? Because we all struggle with our sexuality. Here's what I want you to know. God is a forgiving God. He's a God of mercy and grace. He's one who says that if you and I will confess to him, that he will remove our sins as far as the east is from the west. He wants to do that for you and he wants to do that for me. But he wants you and I to go and then sin no more. And so some of us, we need to start seeking God daily and passionately. For others of us, we need to eliminate some opportunities that's in our life that, you know what, are not helping us. Some of us, we need to become more accountable. For others of us, you know what we need to do? We need to cultivate that healthy sexual relationship with our spouse. For others of us, we need to begin to occupy our time with purpose and fulfillment. And you say, Dwight, how do you do that? You do this is what Paul said. Paul says, give yourself to God. Surrender your whole being to him to be used for righteous purposes. And so today, that's what I want to invite you to do. I want you to give yourself to God and say, God, you know what? You've given me these desires. They're good. They're from you. But I want to channel them in a way that's honoring you and that's pleasing to you. And God, where I have stumbled and where I have fallen, I ask you to forgive me and to cleanse me and give me the power and the desire to do what is right. And when you do that and I do that, he will honor that. Let's pray. God, we thank you today for who you are. And God, you know that we all struggle with our sexuality. There's not a person here who doesn't struggle. We all struggle. And we need your help. I need your help. And so I ask you, God, to lead me and guide me. May I not shake my fist in your face and say, I'll do what I want. But may I realize your great love for me and surrender to your view of sex and my sexuality so that what happens is I can enjoy everything that I have in Christ Jesus. And so I pray for my friends here today that we would take that step as well. And it's in Jesus' name we pray and we give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know about how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.